Blog Talk Radio.
Buy me a thorn before you buy me a rose. Covered in dust before I'm covered in gold. Trying it on, yeah, you're picking me off. Say what you want, but I won't ever be told. Cause I'm in love with a monster.
Twisted Mister or two. Hi, Naomi.
Hello. How are you, girls?
I'm
good. Cool song. Oh, my gracious. I never heard it before.
Me neither. It was a find this afternoon when I went looking for music. And I was like, what can I find to intro this song? And I'm looking and I'm looking and I found that one and I said, oh, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It was kind of kicky. Hi, Laurent. Okay. I'm imagining things. I guess he doesn't hear me.
No, Laurent is on with us.
He doesn't know it.
Hey, Laurent.
Hey, good evening, Bram. Hello,
oh, he's only speaking to you. I get it.
Hey, Naomi. Hello, Stelita out there in the room.
Yes. So, anyhow, what a day. Yeah, that was just one of those things, Naomi, and I said, oh, this is kind of good. I like it. It was smiley and head
Who
was down.
Who does that?
You know, I have it written down somewhere. Why do you make me do that? It was like five harmonies or something like that. But I thought, God, it was just so funny. I like when he said, should he buy me thorns before he buy me flowers? I went, okay. Let me see. The Fifth Harmony. That's the name of the group. Fifth Harmony. Five women.
Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah, pretty funny. I said, yep. It was kind of bouncy, like, you know, well, I don't know. The pictures aren't bouncy, but they're not scary either. So, anywho's how. Everyone doing well? We all ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good, very good. Yeah, we ended up with quite a full board, which was surprising. I liked it. So let me see. I think I'm going to, well, let's give it a whirl. You know what, Laurent, I'm going to have you read this for us. This is called The Man in the Moon Came Down Too Soon. And this is by J.R.R. Tolkien. And thank you, Naomi, for the deposit to the cause. Here we go.
Is Lahan mutating already?
Well, I was, because I was so taken aback by the fact that I have not read this piece by one of my favorite authors. I'm trying to figure out how I missed this, but I know this is going to be good. Thank you, Jean, for letting me read this. The Man and the Moon Came Down Too Soon. There is an inn, a merry old inn, beneath an old gray hill. And there they brew a beer so brown that the man in the moon himself came down one night to drink his fill. The ostler has a tipsy cat that plays a five-stringed fiddle, and up and down he saws his bow, now squeaking high, now purring low, now sawing in the middle. The landlord keeps a little dog that is mighty fond of jokes. When there's good cheer among the guests, he cocks an ear at all the jests and laughs until he chokes. They also keep a horned cow as proud as any queen. But the music turns her head like ale and makes her wave her tufted tail and dance on the green. And all the rows of silver dishes and the store of silver spoons. For Sunday, there's a special pair, and these they polish up with care on Saturday afternoons. The man in the moon was drinking deep, and the cat began to wail. A dish and a spoon on the table. The cow in the garden madly pranced, and the little dog chased his tail. The man in the moon took another mug, and then rolled beneath his chair. And there he dozed and dreamed of ale, till in the sky the stars were pale, and dawn in the air. Then the ostler said to his tipsy cat, the white horses of the moon, they neigh and champ their silver bits, their master has been and drowned his wits, and the sun will be rising soon. So the cat on the fiddle played a little fiddle, a jig that would wake the dead. He squeaked and sawed and quickened the tune, while the landlord shook the man in the moon. 'Tis after three, they rolled the man slowly up the hill and bundled him into the moon, while his horses galloped up in rear, and the cow came capering like a deer, and a dish ran up to the spoon. Now quicker the fiddle went deedle, dum diddle, the dog began to roar. The cow and the horses stood on their heads, the guests all bounded from their beds and danced upon the floor. With a ping and a pang, the fiddle strings broke. The couch was over the moon, and the little dog laughed to see such fun, and the Saturday dish went off at a run with the silver Sunday spoon. The round moon rolled behind the hill as the sun raised up her head. She hardly believed her fiery eyes, for though it was day, to her surprise, they all went to bed. End quote.
Nice read, Laurent. Nice read.
Thank you, Jim.
I had no idea that that piece was the original piece for Hey Diddle Diddle. I read the comments underneath of it, and then I was like, wait a minute, you know, live and learn, right? I always thought Mother Goose wrote the other one. Ha! The nerve. The nerve. Anyway.
I think Disney co-opted that phrase from Dolphin.
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't know. There's something about that just doesn't seem right. So anyway,
right.
Tia, what did you think? I had to write a note to somebody.
Who did you ask? What?
I asked Pam.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I like this. First of all, great choice, Naomi. A wonderful read, Lauren. You know, just, well, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien is just always wonderful to read. But I have to say there is something particularly delightful about this write. I love the personification and the humor. Of course, you know, any poem that mentions a cow is good with me. So they also keep a horned cow as proud as any queen. But music turns her head like ale and makes her wave her tufted tail. I mean, yeah, this is wonderful. I have to say it's one of those poems that I think can just be for people of all ages. So
right.
great choice.
Right, right. And Naomi, what did you think? I know you picked it out, which was good.
Yeah, well, you know, I was looking at the prompts, and there were so many prompts with moons in them, and especially one would be standing right in front of the moon, so he could be like, you know, a monster from the moon, or the man in the moon monster. And, you know, anything, like Pam said, anything from J.R. Tolkien. My gracious, he's my favorite. Like, I read, you know, all the books and everything. And, you know, just amazing. I just love, you know, how he plays with sounds, the diddle-dum-diddle, and all the little sounds, the diddle-diddle, and, you know, how he can play it and with the words. And it just... It's just like music. It's so neat. It's, yeah, it's like Pam said, it's for all ages. You know, it's
absolutely
just delightful.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. And Laurent, what do you think?
Well, Tolkien's, you know, I've been thinking about doing a show on the poetry of J.R. Tolkien, and reading this particular poem pretty much convinced me that it's a good idea. For a poet to be able to maintain the common lines and rhymes from beginning to end in a long poem, make it convincing, tell a wonderful story, delight us with phrasing, it really takes a special person to do that.
Yeah.
And that this is an example of such a quality of poet.
Yeah.
It, the stuff is timeless. You know, he's not barking about something recent or something
right.
that is kind of a societal thing. No, this is timeless stuff. Great.
Yeah. I always felt Tolkien was that way. You know, he's brilliant. Brilliant man. When you look at what he's written and then you put it together and then there's these side books and by the time you get done, there's just this whole world that he's created.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
he even made up his own language.
His own language. He wrote his own Bible. He told you from the start how things started and how it ended. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Amazing stuff. Lots of great work from him. So I look forward to that one, Laurent. I do.
Good.
I have a pre-write for you.
And
no,
by the way,
no, no.
And by the way, that was an awesome, awesome read, Laurent. Really, really, really,
merci,
really
merci.
Sweet.
Yep. Okay, so Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece. This is by Jenny the Deep, and it's called The Man in the No, it's not called The Man in the Moon. God, I'm reading the wrong one. Monsters Fluttering Away by Jenny the Deep. Oh my God.
All right. Misunderstood are my brothers, nurtured by their mothers, chased away like monsters by misguided fathers. Oh, furry blanket of blankets of snow. Oops, sorry. On furry blankets of snow, I ride away from home, fluttering destiny, monstrous epiphany, taking me far away where I decide to stay, in his arms, safe inside, till the end of my life. Weakened wings lifted up, flying below the sun, with him close at my side, hope again is revived. As my wary eyes close, I hear boisterous echoes telling me to let go of love's apprehensions, and I too can escape from depression. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. And Naomi, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, this is really a very thought-provoking, very relatable poem, I find. And wow, she really, went, took that picture and used the wings, she used everything, the expression, I think of the monster's head is down, she really used every part of that picture to create this poem. And, it was very, very deep, thought-provoking piece, and very, very well written.
Nice comment, Naomi. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, I can't disagree with Naomi. The first stanza, misunderstood are my brothers, nurtured by their mothers, chased away like monsters by misguided fathers, tells quite a story. The decision to go away and to stay away, one of those things a person can do in life, but how do you escape from depression? It's,
yeah.
You're not going to really. It's a little deeper than I thought this kind of poetry was going to be tonight. But it uses
right.
the image effectively and tells a nice, a deep story.
Absolutely. I thought this was a good piece by Jenny. I thought it was nicely penned. It was intriguing. It wasn't what I was expecting either. But everybody has their different takes on things. But I went with these two stanzas, taking me far away where I decide to stay in his arms, safe inside, till the end of my life. Weakened wings lifted up, flying below the sun. With him close at my side, hope again is revived. So, that friendship, that certain person, monster, in this case, they help you through it. They help you get through it. So, I think that was a nice touch there. And at least there was some hope there. I like that. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I liked this. I thought it had wonderful imagery and was an excellent write on trying to escape from depression and to find that place where you are no longer wary of love. I do have to say one of the particular things that I liked about this, well, a couple things, was that, first of all, like Naomi said, you could tell Jenny pulled a lot of detail out of the artwork, and I appreciated that. I also appreciated, and, it might just be the way that I think, but that first stanza, especially the first two lines, made me think of Grendel, the monster from Beowulf, and...
Yeah.
his relationship with his mother. And I thought that was really cool, whether she meant it, you know, on purpose or it was a happy accident, to have thoughts of such a classic piece of writing brought into one's mind by
a
poet.
Timely.
So, yeah, absolutely. So great write, Jenny. Very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Yeah, very good, very good. Now, Naomi, I'm going to ask you to read this next one. And this is called Through Storms, A Friend for Life by Passion's Promise.
Okay. Through Storms, A Friend for Life. Wise is seeing the rainbow through the storm. Darkness could be deceiving, but the colors revolve with a powerful punch. Fruits of life given from him who chews us. Through down streams of lightning, pumping hard thunder, he calms us, leads us in direction that only he knows. We'll stumble and fall, but we are collected in loving hands. A friend through strife. Friend for life. End poem.
Nice read, Naomi. Laurent, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, it's a very spiritual piece. That first line, wise is seeing the rainbow through the storm. Some people are so preoccupied with the immediate problem that they don't see beyond it. I think the rainbow through the storm is a nice metaphor to convey that. He calms us, leads us in direction that only he knows. That really is the essence of faith. If you have that kind of faith, then you're going to be able to survive almost anything. And it's that way I read the poem, which is a spiritual brevity of quality.
Mm-hmm. Great comment. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I did enjoy, as Lawrence was saying, it is a very spiritual rite and definitely a different take on the prompt, which, you know, I just think it's so cool to run a contest for our shows and, you know, to see how, in what directions people take the various prompts. I really like that how she took these two quotes and that it speaks on the idea of finding that guidance that offers us strength and peace within. And I particularly like fruits of life given from him who chews us through downstreams of lightning. You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Nice comment, Pam. I thought this was a great little brevity. I really did. And I loved how she used the two prompts. I thought it really put together nicely. You know, I mean, it was short, but it was very on money, so you can't beat that. There are fruits of life given from him who chose us. Through down streams of lightning, pumping hard thunder, he calms us, leads us in direction that only he knows. I don't know. I think that it has a wonderful tone to it all the way through. And I thought it was great. So thank you, Passions. And Naomi, you want to give us your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, you know, I like it all the way through, but that first part, wow. You know, wise is seeing the rainbow through the storm. Darkness could be deceiving, but the colors revolve with a powerful punch. You know, those are wonderful, deep words of wisdom and so cleverly and beautifully written. So bravo, Passions. Awesome, right?
Nice comments, everybody. Now, I have the next one. It's called Moonlight's Music by Betty Page, and I'm going to give that one a read. And let me see if I can do better than the last four things I tried to read. Moonlight's music, swirling enchantment, full moon illuminating magical ballrooms, sweetest carnival, enticing love's enchantment, twirling round, drifting, gliding across the floor, people merrily dancing beneath sapphire skies, bright stars shimmering, scenery's radiant glow, swaying beneath tall trees, singing harmonies, all ages gather round fires, toasting up some s'mores, fresh Georgia peach pies, fresh vanilla whipping cream, assorted berries, cherry lemonade, juicy pink watermelons, hometown barbecues, old-fashioned lifestyles, ice cream parlors, soda shops, retro-style arcades, guys playing guitar, singing songs we grew up with, entertaining crowds. Right as the sun sets, bayous, fireflies float high. We sip on moonshine, telling our stories deep in this magical world where kind hearts unite. End poem. Mm-hmm. And that was written to the prompt, Music is the Moonlight in the Gloomy Night of Life, by Jean-Paul Friedrich Richter. So, let's see. Naomi, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, if I can get myself off mute here. My gracious, she made me hungry. Oh, boy. You know, all the food in here. Oh, my gracious, the Georgia peach pies, the vanilla whipping cream, assorted berries, cherry lemonade, juicy pink watermelons, hometown barbecues, old-fashioned lifestyle ice cream parlors, soda stops, retro-style arcades. And, you know, she made me, you know, have a bit of a heartthrob for, you know, those old retro days, those nostalgic, you know, for
right.
those days, you know, that are not, are past. And, great right to that prompt. And, you know, like Betty Page can do it so colorful and you know, she just spikes all our five senses with this poem. So brings us to life.
Nice.
Good job, Betty Page.
Awesome. And Pam, how about you?
You know what? I said something similar to Naomi is with the idea that this poem made me very hungry. And I have to say, when I first read this poem and I said that I'm getting hungry, I thought, well, maybe it's just because I haven't eaten lunch yet. But I had a nice big dinner of pork ribs, corn on the cob, and rice. And
wow.
I'm still getting hungry reading this poem. I mean, that's how absolutely delicious the imagery is. It really is a, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful nostalgic write on enjoying food, friends, and music. I love the atmosphere created in this, especially with old-fashioned lifestyles, ice cream parlors, soda shops, retro-style arcades. You know, that really just takes you back. A wonderful imagery all the way through and very well done.
I have to agree with that. I thought there was a lot of great imagery as well. And I like the feel of the write. It felt uplifting. You know, like a good time, you know, that kind of a thing. So I enjoyed that myself. And Laurent, what did you think of this one?
Get off mute here. Moonlight's Music is a beautiful little poem that really stimulates the senses. I like what Naomi had to say about the food, because I saw that fresh vanilla whipping cream, assorted berries, and I could just imagine, because I got them downstairs. You know, I almost rushed downstairs and made a bowl of them, but I thought that might be pushing it. Now, this is a new poem, but I can swear I'd read it before, or maybe it's not new. No, August 28th. Yeah. I thought I read it before, but maybe I haven't. Sipping on moonshine. Now, that's quite a move. My screen powers to the moonshine. Telling our stories deep in this magical world where kind heart unites. kind hearts unite. It's a feel-good poem. Entertaining imagery, familiar imagery. It's all relatable and quite well done.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. Yeah, it is very similar to something else that Betty has written not all that long ago. Because when I was reading it, I'm like, did I read this before? And I'm like, this wasn't a pre-write contest.
Yeah.
But I
didn't think I was good.
No, I think it may have been like something for the 4th of July or something like that she was having. It was another barbecue picnic kind of idea in the head, but it was very, very similar. But great piece, Betty, and thanks for sharing with us. And Laurent, this next piece I have is for you. It's by Lifeless Seeds. It's called Sometimes You Grow to Love the Shadow That Follows.
All right, Key. I need to track it down. Here it is. Sometimes you grow to love the shadow that follows. Sometimes you grow to fear the shadow that follows, the looming specter that darkens your path, the constant oppressor of your freedom and choices, the harsh critic of your flaws and wrath. Sometimes you grow to ignore the shadow that follows, the irrelevant factor that has no power, the fleeting illusion that changes into light, the transient mark of your passing hour. Sometimes you grow to understand the shadow that follows, the inevitable part of your being and soul, the balanced partner of your light and dark, the integrated whole that makes you whole. Sometimes you grow to love the shadow that follows, the silent companion that mirrors your steps, faithful reminder of your presence and essence, the subtle witness of your joys and regrets. End poem.
Nice read, Laurent. Nice read. And Pam, I think that brings me to you for first comment.
All right. Well, I have to say, I really like this. On a technical level, I think the use of rhyme and near repetition for the first line of each stanza works really well. And I like how it takes us on a journey from the fear to trying to ignore to understanding, and from understanding to love. And I like how with these rites that mention shadows, the shadow could be so many things. It could be, you know, depression. It could be your own personal demons, whatever those are. It could be literally a shadow in a creative way. I like this all the way through because, as I said, I think it's taking us on that journey of learning to, you know, embrace and understand and embrace the darker parts of yourself. And really great write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I think I really, really enjoyed this. I read this earlier, and, from the prompt, you know, the monster, we have so many monsters that are following us, and, you know, she's spot on with that prompt in this poem. And, the technical level of this poem, like Pam said, you know, the awesome rhythm and flow of it. And, you know, and it's deep and thoughtful and very relatable to everyone, and so well written. So bravo, Lifeless Seeds, a poet that I don't know, and I'm going to get to know that I'm coming back. look forward to reading more.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. I thought this was a nicely penned piece. And I thought it was a great take on the prompt. I found it intriguing how he went from, you know, sometimes you grow to fear the shadow that follows, you know, into sometimes you grow to ignore the shadow that follows. you know, there's so many different stages and thoughts, you know, not every shadow is a, it comes off as a friendly shadow. Sometimes, you know, it feels oppressive or it's like he's looming, you know, over you. And then when it fell into, sometimes you grow to understand the shadow. You can see it turning around a bit, you know, and the last stanza, I really did like the last stanza. Sometimes you grow to love the shadow that follows, the silent companion that mirrors your steps, the faithful reminder of your presence and essence, the subtle witness of your joys and regrets. I really liked it. I thought this was a great little piece to go with that prompt. And, you know, I thank you so much, Lifeless Seeds, for sharing with us. Nice job. Nice work. And Laurent, you want to comment on this?
Yes. Yes, I do. The shadow that follows kind of reminds me of that nursery rhyme about the little shadow that follows him up the stairs. It's an image that's powerful, I think. It kind of reflects our alter ego, our kid, or our inner voice, and all of the things that other people do to that affect you, the shadow does as well, but, you know, in a slightly different way. Silent companion that mirrors your steps, the faithful reminder of your presence and essence, the subtle witness of your joys and regrets, always there watching you, keeping track of the ups and the downs.
Right.
It's a charming piece, and it's definitely layered. There's more to it than just a little poem.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. Nice comments, guys. Let me see. Well, next one in line. It's going to throw me off. So let me grab the, well, how do I want to do this? Gosh dang darn it. You know what, Pam? Yeah, well, you know, sure beats my regular vocabulary.
Hello, 1951.
Well, you know, I used to run with the fella, and his big thing was Dag Nabbit. I'd be like, Dag Nabbit. And I used to chuckle every time he'd say it, but that was really what he did. So, you know, see?
The Andy Griffith Show all over again.
Can I tell you? Dag Nabbit. Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this next one by Jesna Sajan. And it's called
All Right.
I never made friends with myself since birth, choosing to find happiness in others. Compare myself for similarities, all a myth, finding fault in me that bothers. Friends always is an afterthought we've seen in childhood, school and work. We imitate what others seem as right on dot. As age advanced, our actions silently knock. True friends, stick through thick and thin, find what's right for our inner well-being. They feel through us, correct us, bring within, shed tears with us in happiness, dance and sing. What is it that burns inside that a true friend knows? Is it our tone, emotions, or thoughts and words? Like the winter brings chills and drops of snow, balling into our world, we sit silently like nerds. Searching through a crystal maze, I find every line move in a pattern. Most friends live in a material daze, search for silk, wool, and satin. Few of those friends search for us to know family, have a stereotyped version, believe we're pests. Friends are like earth angels I look for and bow to find our lost halves, blend life into our quest. We are those friends who search for lost treasures, run to please everyone, uncontrollable addiction in bars, saving for a rainy day, taking planned measures. we forget those true friends who are the real stars. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice job. Laurent, you want to start us off?
I am one poem behind. I beg your pardon.
No problem. Naomi, Laurent threw you under the bus. So if you'd be so kind, give us first poem.
Yeah, well, you know, this has a great depth to this poem. You know, from the first line, I never made friends with myself since birth, choosing to find happiness in others. And, you know, that is so true for so many people and for myself, I think, too. You know, for so long, like, I didn't even really know who I was. I didn't really, you know, I wasn't really friends with myself. I was hooked on to some, you know, mostly some guy to try and find happiness, you know, in with him, instead of trying to find happiness by myself, with myself. And so, yeah, this is very, very relatable, well, to me anyway, and very deep and thoughtful poem. And, yeah, very well written. So, bravo.
Nice comment, Naomi. And, Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I like the emotion and thought put into this one and how it speaks on the idea of learning to love yourself and also learning to realize who your true friends are, who will be there for you through thick and thin, which I did particularly like those lines, true friends stick through thick and thin, find what's right for our inner well-being. They feel through us, correct us, bring within, shed tears with us, happiness, dance and sing. So, you know, a good friend is going to celebrate your victories with you, but they're also going to be there for you when you're going through difficult times. And if you need correction, you know, they're going to give you a correction. And I think that's a very layered thought there within those lines and really throughout the whole poem on the whole idea of realizing, you know, who your true friends are. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Laurent, are you ready? Or would you like me to go next?
No, I'm fine. Well, I'll simply echo the statements of Pam and Naomi, and then refer to what is it that burns inside that a true friend knows? Is it our tone, emotion, or thoughts and words? Like the winter brings chills and drops of snows falling into our worlds, we sit silently like nerds. And then, of course, that thought line continues. But I ask myself, too, what is it that burns inside that a true friend knows? There has to be a rather deep connection between two people. It's, you know, creating friendships that go back the last 30, 40 years at least. And you touch something inside of the other person. That person touches something inside of you. That's the bond of a true friend. Beautifully written.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this was a great job by Jesna. Her two prompts that she chose to write to, the first one was friends always. A true friend is not just a friend, but like a guardian angel from above, one who looks after you as the rest give up and run. You know, and I think she hit on that one nicely. Excuse me. And the second prompt was, a faithful friend is a strong defense, and he that has found him hath found a treasure. And I think that she really did incorporate both of those into this really nicely. You know, kind of with Pam, I like the stanza that said, true friends stick through thick and thin. And I kind of picked up the one above it, too. Friends always is an afterthought. We've seen in childhood, school, and work, we imitate what others seem is right on dot. You know, as age advanced, our actions silently knock. You know, but then, you know, she goes into the true friends stick through thick and thin. And I think that really hit nicely on the prompt. So great job, Jesna, and thank you for sharing with us. Much appreciated. Well done. So now for my next magic trick, I'm going to come over here and do the great poem shuffle, juggle, whichever. And Naomi, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece. This is called How's the Monster Doing by Naomi Sarah. Do you know her?
Oh, I was laughing. I was on mute. Okay. How's the monster doing? How's the monster doing? Oh, well, I'm really happy, honestly. I see you're writing about me. Well, I'm going to pay you a kind of tribute. Oh, yes, it's nice of you, but beware, you know, tributes are mostly when you're dead. But us monsters, we never die. We inhabit the whole world, but really, who are we, us monstrous creatures, that you made up because it reassures you to invent chimeras to ward off your fears of ghosts of Sybaris and demons of Paler? We've seen the country traveled far and wide from Transylvania to the Scottish Islands. We are called Boogeyman, Leviathan, Mummy, Frankenstein, Werewolf, Ghoul, Succubus, Yeti, etc., etc. I have to applaud the immensity of your imaginations. Quite monstrously impressive, if I may say so. Sorry, a little monster inside joke. But isn't the monster you instead of me? Am I really hiding behind your every step? Is the monster me? The monster you? For too often, isn't it the one you don't know, you don't understand? Well, at the same time, the poor kids, we have to understand them. It's true that next to a kitten or a baby unicorn, we are pretty scary. But whose fault is that? When the setting sun draws silhouettes, how many children are there hiding under a duvet? All around the earth, the shivers travel, the horrors, the fright, the quivers, the crying. We are the Chupacabra in Puerto Rico, on the shores of the Great Lakes, the frightening Wendigo. But when you don't have sharp teeth or a demon's head, sometimes we're the unknown, sometimes we're the abandonment. We have visited under beds, made doors creak in the night, have lost patience in many cupboards and closets to give birth to all your nightmares. All the while, just waiting for you to shout, "Sorry, monster, you don't scare me anymore. I hear in the dark the beats of your heart. Now get out of my closet. I'll lend you my slippers." Then you'll have seen that the real monster is you, following yourself around behind your every step. And you'll just have to learn to face it. Then I won't be so monstrous after all. End poem.
What a great story. What a great story. Pam, would you like to comment on this one?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't need to skip commenting on this one. It's absolutely brilliant. I really enjoy and appreciate the humor in here, especially the sorry, a little monster inside joke. And I mean, all the way through, it's wonderful storytelling. I really enjoy and appreciate how this is almost like an interview style. And the whole idea of the message that comes across me of learning to embrace your own monster. I really like that you brought in the different kinds of monsters, like the chupacabra, you know, and the Wendigo. Another part that really had me grinning was, but isn't the monster you instead of me? Am I really hiding behind your every step? Is the monster me, the monster you? I'm like, oh my goodness, these monsters are having an existential crisis. And
oh
I mean, honestly, it just gave me a smile, and I very much enjoyed hearing you read this. So very well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have to agree, Pam. That was a great comment. You know, this was a great piece, Naomi. You have a wonderful way of storytelling. When you write some of the pieces, you know, your writing, you know, goes across the board. But when you write something as a story or a tale, when you read it, you bring it all to life. And this is no exception. I mean, you really, you know, you had those little side bits to it. You know, as Pam said, you know, sorry, a little monster inside joke. You know, little things like that make it so more personal of a write. You know what I mean? Something that makes it your own. It's your style. And I think you did a fabulous job here. You list all these little bits and pieces, you know. I mean, it was just a great narration, you know, of everything and your thoughts. Wonderful imagery, lots of fun. And you did a great job. And thanks so much for writing for the show tonight. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
And Laurent, how about you?
Yeah, this poem makes monsters very human, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't think of them as monsters, but as people. The last stanza, which has the bogeyman, Leviathan, mummy, Frankenstein, werewolf, ghoul, succubus, yeti, etc., is a great line. You rattle them all off. I wasn't aware, though, that the succubus was on a par with the yeti. I mean, I might welcome one, but definitely not the other end of my bed. Either way, you make this a very cute poem. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, great job. Absolutely. Now, let me see. I think, Pam, I'm going to put your piece up next. And this is called, well, let me put it up before I say it. Sometimes it makes a difference. The Music That Sways Within the Soul by Pam Ray. And we have an audio for this one. So, okay. Here we go.
Melodies swirl beneath full moons, make for a lovely summer night. The mind and body sways and swoons to know the sounds of such delight. O monster with the misty eyes, upon the wind your soulful sighs, tell people how to find the way to opera of the epic play. The green forest is your canopy, where frolics all the fancy fay, realms where music shall always be. Senses tickled with merry tunes that shows true magic to our sight, the nodding squirrels, birds, and raccoons bounce and twirl with all woodland sprites. Hearts that will not tolerate lies know the truth from which music flies. The soul has much it wants to say in ancient times of night and day. Voices joined in sweet harmony like singing birds in brightest May. Hearts where music shall always be. The lovely calls of larks and loons beneath stars of silvery light, floating upon the still lagoons where myth and magic reunite. All nature which does harmonize, angelic wings that swiftly rise, while raindrops in purity pray to painted arcs on full display. Chorus speaks to both you and me along the shores of Sandy Bay, hues where music shall always be. Butterflies emerge from cocoons beneath fireflies shining bright, and memories that speak of June bring inner eyes a blessed sight. To wisdom in the lows and highs, lilting language does hypnotize, bold blooms that make a bright bouquet and fills our lives with such a spree. In Mother Nature's cabaret, stage where music shall always be. The sun rises a red balloon to shine upon all that's good and right. Creatures are in deepest commune with folded hands that hold on tight. Offering up spiritual ties, hold virtue without compromise. Floral and fauna in ballet, honeyed berries a sweet entree. frogs and fairies sip toadstool tea. Clouds are floating in full array, forms where music shall always be. The joy of song shall never stray beyond where love does oft convey dances of luminosity. Newfound visions shall clear the way to where music shall always be. End poem.
Wow. What a great audio. What a great write, Pam. Just fabulous job. And Laurent, would you like to comment on this piece by Pam?
What, you mean the one that where Pam exceeds all expectations?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah, that'd be the one. Yeah, I thought I recognized it. It truly is. And Naomi as well. Naomi usually exceeds expectations. The length of it is one thing, the quality of it is the other. This is a long poem, and yet the lines don't seem long. It moves so fast. And the read, which was excellent, by the way, Ben, was almost effortless from the point of view of the listener. You did so much for your lines. Senses tickled with merry tunes that shows true magic to our sight. The nodding squirrels, birds, and raccoons, hounds and sparrows, all woodland sprites. The story as you tell it is just perfectly natural. And, you know, you get to the meaning first, and then you deliver the word that rhymes. And it's the perfect word to say the perfect thing because you always put the meaning first. It's a lovely piece, beautifully composed. Great job, Pam.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, my gracious. Bravo, Pam. You know, on a technical level, this is just, wow. It's like that 10 out of 10, like 100 out of 100. My gracious, like the technical difficulty, you know, the meter of it, the meter, the rhyme, the rhythm, the flow, everything just perfect, perfect, perfect. But also the language. You know, the language is so flamboyant, it's so vivid, it's so sprightly and magical, you know, just like a symphony, you know. I just love floral and fauna in Bel Air, honeyed berries of sweet and tree, frogs and fairies sip toadstool tea. That is so cool. Clouds are floating in full array, forms where music shall always be. I just love those lines, but you know, so many other lines too. The one with the bold blooms that make a bright bouquet and fills our lives with such esprit, in Mother Nature's cabaret, stage where music shall always be. This is just loaded with awesome imagery and just so beautiful and wonderfully written, Pam. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You know, this is just another one of those Pam poems. You know, I just sit here and I shake my head and say, wow, where did she get this stuff from? It's wonderful. You know, I thought it was a great piece, Pam. I love the imagery and the imagination you crafted into this piece, you know, all the way through. I mean, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, of all the lines in this poem, Naomi picked up the ones I was going to quote. I love that whole stanza, but there's so much. There's something in every stanza. Butterflies,
yeah.
Fireflies, and, you know, what is it? Fireflies shining bright in memories that speak of June bring inner eyes a blessed sight to wisdom in the lows and highs, lifting language does hypnotize. It's just wonderful. There's something in every stanza of this that captures your attention and really just draws you in. It you feel it. You know, I don't know how to express it any better. It's just wonderful, and I love the image you chose. That was one of the sweetest ones. I really enjoyed the image itself. And I was glad to see you picked it because it was neat. It's a sweet piece and a sweet image. And, yeah, great job, really.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the inspiration.
I'm glad you liked it. We might have a round three of this, you know, maybe in about a year. It's okay.
There you go.
somebody sent me some more imagery, so we're good.
Cool.
Yeah, so, yes. So let me see now. Okay, Naomi had her piece done. Pam had her piece done. I guess that brings me to Laurent. Laurent, I'm going to put your piece up. And here we go. Buckeye by Laurent Devon. Whenever you're ready.
Hard act to follow, I will tell you that. All right. Thank you so much. This is called Buckeye. Wooden wheels spin like fury, hurrying home to a one-man jury. Mary's dad would be spinning for sure. Mary, the hour, he's sure to glower. He believes in pain as a cure. Jerome, don't fret. It's not at all bad yet. Once I proclaim my love, it's a sign from the heavens above. Really, honey, it'll be no threat. Then why are we rushing so fast, Mary? Well, quick as we can. I heard you clear. I saw it in his manner. Saw it in his eyes. Death was in the offing, or so I surmised. And now you tell me nothing to fear? I prefer to be shot at dawn. Or take a pill, painlessly. But I hate to succumb, held under his thumb, because we're a few hours late. Jerome, I'll tell him I'm pregnant, and that every child needs a dad. Buckeye, who's chosen to proffer, name the same as his grandfather. Please don't be unhappy. Be glad. Mary, our end is in sight, and you know I'm not up for the fight. Prepare to jump clear. I'll slow down. Have no fear. No need to stop. There he is now. He looks like a cop. Oh, Lord, holy cow. That a rifle he holds in his hand. Don't remember this in his list of demands. All right, you two. Fires for effect. Training the gun at the sky. Fires again. I'd be celebrating your marriage. Anything less, a fatal miscarriage, in case you want to know why. 12 hours late is no accidental oversight. Better show me the license. No tricks or connivance. Or my lad, you're in for a fight. At this point, the curtains are drawn. No graphic violence is permitted. I find it sufficient to say, Jerome was proved the better man that day. And Mary used Buckeye as the villain. End
quote. Oh, my God. Naomi, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Oh, wait. Did you say Pam or Naomi? I'm sorry.
I did say Naomi, but, you know.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, Naomi, go ahead.
That was good. I was laughing too hard anyway. I just liked this. You know, I was so into it all the way through. I was just, you know, hanging on to every word. I just wanted to know what was going to happen. And, you know, it was so, you know, and it's all written, you know, wonderful flow. And, you know, it goes so fast. You know, it goes, it's quite a, well, it's not that long, but I mean, you know, it's as if it just lasted a second because we're so absorbed by the story. The whole story is just so entertaining and so funny. And, yeah, we really get into it, Laurent. Wonderful, wonderful write. It made me laugh all
Merci,
the way.
And Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is great. It definitely gave me a good chuckle. It makes me think of the song we'll have fun till Daddy takes the T-bird away. Only with monsters and a little bit more of a consequence. But I really like that you gave the monsters' names, Jerome and Mary. That was really cool. And the whole idea of how they're trying to hurry home because, you know, Mary's dad is going to be angry, and oh my goodness, they're heading towards a shotgun wedding full speed ahead. I really like. No need to stop. There he is now. Looks like a cop. Oh Lord, holy cow! Is that a rifle he holds in his hand? Don't remember this in his list of demands. And all right, you two, he fires for effect. Training the gun at the sky. Fires again. I be celebrating your marriage. And I mean, it's just great because you've really made all of the three of these characters and their situation quite colorful. So very well done.
Absolutely. Nice.
Thank
comment.
You so much.
You know, Laurent, when you were reading this, I cracked up a couple of times because in a couple of places as you were reading, all of a sudden you changed the, you just added so much to the line itself. And I was like, then I started cracking up because here was it. Jerome, don't fret. It's not all bad. Yet once I proclaim my love as a sign from the heavens above, really, honey, he'll be no threat. And then all of a sudden your voice changes. Then why are we rushing, Mary? It was so real. It was like one of those moments that, you know, you're going down the road and it's like, then why are we rushing, Mary? You know, and I was like, oh, my God. And I fell out laughing because it was just so, I don't know, it just added such a quality to the piece itself. And you did it again somewhere down, you know, a stanza or so down. And I had to laugh again. I was like, oh, my God. It was a great tale told. It was a lot of fun. I think you did a great job with it. And it was nice and lighthearted. You know, even though it had a little bit of a serious undernote, you know, it was still fun and it was lighthearted. You know, I love at this point, the curtains are drawn. No graphic violence is permitted. So laughing at that, I'm like, okay, damn rules, you know.
Well, I didn't think that those cute, furry little monsters required anything but levity.
Right, you know. this really, the one monster with the violin, I really like that image. But when I went over to my old contest from about a year ago, I saw this one, and I loved this one the last time around. I just thought it was so darn cute. So I'm kind of glad you picked this one. So it worked out well. But a lot of fun. Nice job there. Mary and Jerome and Buckeye. And forget that.
Well, at some point, I was going to try and use the bird that sits on the nose of the car.
Yeah.
And I was going to call the bird Dexter. But I really couldn't fit it in.
Poor Dexter. That's funny though. Yeah, it they're all cute images. Yeah, they're all a little different, but you know, they're cute all the way along. So that's what I liked about them. So great job. And let me see. Where am I going now? Oh, I'm going to read the next one. That's where I'm going now. Because it would be my turn. And this, don't get excited, though. This is called The Long and the Short of It by James Hatfield. He 40 fathoms or more, a real... Wow, let me try this again. There's only like 7 lines, but I'm screwing up the first 2. He 40 fathoms or more, a real beast to behold. She, just a willowy wisp, barely there at all. Ah, love. Love is a great equalizer. He willing to elevate her. She willing to keep him grounded. End poem. That's it. So, Laurent, do you want to start us off on this one?
Well, I'll tell you what. Could you come right back to me, please?
Sure. Pam, Laurent threw you under the bus. Would you like to
come?
No, I come on now.
I like to tease.
I'm ready to comment. That's all right. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus at all.
I'm just playing.
Because, you know, this is a such a difficult cause to grasp, if you will, and a wonderful read. He's 40 fathoms or more, a real beast to behold. He's just a willowy wisp, barely there at all. The scale is very similar to King Kong climbing the building with a small blonde in his hand. Love is the great equalizer. He's willing to elevate her. She's willing to keep him grounded. It's a little bit deeper than it seems. The interplay in that love, those last two lines, he to elevate her, she's willing to keep him grounded, which, you know, is not difficult to do given his size.
Right? Absolutely. It was a neat piece. Faye Wray, wasn't it Faye Wray that King Kong carried up the building?
Yeah, Faye Wray.
Yeah,
Faye Wray, be the gal.
And Pam, how about you?
I really like this. It was quite the clever brevity, which said quite a bit in a few words or a few lines. And I really like how it speaks on the idea that oftentimes opposites attract, and the idea of two people whose love and whose personalities really balance each other out. So
right.
Wonderful brevity and very well done.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you, hon?
Yeah, well, you know, I think Pam summed up about everything.
Right.
I was gonna say, often in love, that's what it takes, you know, somebody that'll, like Pam said, you know, somebody who's more, grounded, terre à terre, we say in French there, more grounded, and somebody who's more, out there, if you have two different personalities, one that's more outgoing and one that's more, less outgoing there, sometimes it works out really, really good. I see in some of my friends there, the relationships. So, yeah, I think this was witty and very, very clever. Well written brevity.
Nice comment, Naomi. Yeah, I thought this piece was great. I thought it was a great brevity. And basically, it was just a very short, well-done tale of sorts. You know, he was 40,000 fathoms or more. A real beast to behold. She's just a willowy wisp. You know what? I did not even, until he said that in this poem, did I notice that there was a girl standing on that clump of earth that monster is staring at. I actually never saw it. So he's got some good eyes. Absolutely. Opposites do attract. I agree, Pam. I agree. But, you love each other enough, it doesn't matter if you're 3'11" and he's 8 foot tall. You know, the thing is, you know, that's where you want to be. You can work together and make it good. So I find that, I know it's exaggerated, girls, but I really thought it was well said, you know, he willing to elevate her and she willing to keep him grounded. So it takes, you know, definitely the way of thinking of it. So, well done, James, and thanks for sharing with us. I'm glad you wrote. Now, let me see. Okay. Naomi, can I get you to read this next one by Thomas B? Because I haven't seen him tonight, so I don't think he'll be here. And here we go. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
No.
Fire Building by Thomas Sue. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, whoops, I lost it. Going back. Okay, Fire Building by Thomas Sue. Fire Building. Before there's an ember, it is a, before there's an ember, it is a spark and a breath, the curl of wood, the grain entwined around a promise, so heat's released and cold's keep. Food found, ingredients mixed, herbs abound, when you listen to how the green sounds thick. Wait for your their fate and you relate, carved on by time and lessons learned. You yearn for the day when a path is clear and goals defined. Until then, all you can do is listen to the wind, feed as you can, pray to the moon. You will feel a sense of purpose to heal your heart. Silence always reveals its form. You let your hands weave the wind, the moonlight mixes with firelight. You heed the call and the feel the and feel the wings. Let your hands reach out to the clouds about. The rapture comes to your roost, folds its wings, presses close. You are its host. Fire and breath, flight finds wings. You can see now how you will begin. Pearls of night, wisdom bright, and poem.
Nice read, Naomi, nice read. And Laurent, you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, fire building. It's a great metaphor for living a life to its fullest, so to speak, building a firm base for yourself as a human being and being true unto yourself. Before there's an ember, it is a spark and a breath. I think that speaks to the beginnings of anything, you know. Before you build a building, you pour its foundation. You clear the land, you pour its foundation, etc. And the food needs to be mixed in the same way. It needs to be prepared. The meal doesn't just spring magically. It all begins with one thing. In this case, you know, you mix the ingredients and add spices. All of which leads us to yearn for the day when a path is clear and goals defined. A little like the Pink Floyd song, Todd, and the line, one day you look around and 10 years has got behind you. You missed the starting gun. No one told you when to run. And you better find that time to run. But until you are able to do that, all you can do is listen to the wind, pray to the moon. It's beautiful language and a beautiful poem. I really like it.
Nice comment. And Pam, how about you?
This is beautiful. First of all, I like the philosophical nature of it. And I also like that it's one of those pre-verse poems that really flows very much like a rhyming poem. I mean, I do notice it rhymes in some spots, in other spots it doesn't, but it never seems to lose its sense of flowing. And I really like how this speaks on the idea of seeking the path that you're meant to walk, you know, discovering who you really are. I thought this was a wonderful take on the chosen prompt, which there's something about that picture with the owl coming in for a landing to the monster's palm, or is it an owl or a hawk? Oh, it's an owl, okay. But, yeah, and I really liked that. And I really like you yearn for the day when a path is clear and goals defined. Until then, all you can do is listen to the wind, feed as you can, pray to the moon. You will feel a sense of purpose to heal your heart. Beautifully written lines and very well done.
Good comment, Pam. Yeah, I think that this was just a great piece by Thomas. Silence always reveals its form. You let your hands weave the winds. The moonlight mixes with firelight. You heed the call and feel the wings. Let your hands reach out to the clouds about. The raptor comes to your roost, folds its wings, presses close. You are its host. Fire and breath, flight finds winds. You can see now how you will begin. Pearls of night, wisdom's bright. I thought the piece was just really well put together, you know, all the way through. And I love just take on the prompt very much. But these last two stanzas I just thought were kind of a little more, I don't know, detailed in my head. So, Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I really like this poem. And, you know, the more I read the poem, you know, and then I went back to the prompt. You know, I imagined the owl, like the owl is a symbol of old sage, you know, wisdom, and the owl flying in and just reciting him this whole thing, this whole lesson of life, you know, while he's before the fire there, you know, and he's built this fire. I just imagine that in my head, you know, the owl reciting this to the little monster there. Yeah, I thought this was a brilliant, brilliant take on the prompt, and I love where he took it, and yeah, live life to the fullest. I think it's beautiful, it's deep, and it's very spiritual. So bravo, Tom.
Nice comment, Naomi. Great comments, guys. Levant, I'm going to ask you to read the next piece. And this is called My Huckleberry by Cedar Chapman.
Hey, Cedar.
Oh, that helped.
There it is.
Yeah.
My Huckleberry. Spring dawns a concerto of sunlight. Fresh grass and budding dogwood trees, the passing of seasons, are about making room for the new, letting the old die. In the basement corner, a lone shoebox lay covered in cobwebs and sat in an unmarked grave. It spoke to me in a tongue not long lost. Buried beneath hot wheels and other childish trinkets, there you slept, bound in leather hardcover, in wrapped in red margins, pale blue line. My love. As I flipped through each page, I could hear the magical spells we used to chant under our bed sheets when angry gods pelted our tin roof with white nails and rain. We tried to sniff the air, the sweet perfume of ozone between each booming clap. You were 7 feet tall, with arms the girth of an oak tree and paws that could palm a planet. I remember jumping out the attic window to ride the full moon, you by my side, while other kids jammed coins into music. We were never fans of video games, but you being a silver-coated monster with Satan's horns didn't exactly pave the arcade entrance to yelled grimaces. And without a whisper, you vanished, like a garden after the first morning frost. Liver spots had finally caught up to me as the world and humanity took their toll with their own version of beasts and gargoyles. Footsteps approached, so I hid the book under my cardigan to save it from the recycling bin. That night, I slept soundly and wrote in my journal for the first time in 40 years. And
wow. Great read. Great read. Pam, do you want to start us off?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I really like that title, My Huckleberry, giving a nod to the tombstone and that infamous line. Very cool there. This just has amazing imagery all the way through. A great storytelling, right, but, you know, one that comes across as nostalgic and personal. I really enjoy and appreciate his attention to detail You know, especially where it says, buried beneath Hot Wheels and other childish trinkets. There you slept, bound in leather, hardcover and wrapped in red margins and pale blue lines, my Huckleberry. You know, and the idea of looking back at your childhood imagination, your imaginary friends, and you know the drawings and writings that you did that brought this imagination to life. And it is always it's always a fascinating thing when you're going through stuff from your childhood, and you know, you just come across pictures or writings, and you know, it has all these memories flooding back. And I really think Peter did a great job with this write, and it was very well done.
Right, absolutely. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, wow. You know, some of the first books I read was Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. And, you know, and after that, you know, I started writing, you know, and then, you know, and I'd write, and the teacher would take my writings and she'd read them aloud to the class. And, you know, I'd write about my brothers and funny things, and the students would laugh. And, you know, that's when my teacher said, you know, you should be a teacher yourself or a writer. So, of course, I didn't listen to them, and I wanted to be something else. Kids, we never do listen. But I did end up, you know, doing both in the end. But, yeah, so this really brought me back to the nostalgia of my childhood, you know, reading books and how our imagination, like Pam says, can go, you know, every place and then develop, and it's a wonderful thing. And this is a beautiful, beautiful write by Cedar. I just love this write.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I thought this was just a fabulous story told. Wonderful imagery and so much detail. I kind of like how he skirted the issue of it being a journal, although he gave it away, but he didn't come out and say it until the end. I like how he referenced the stories from his youth that were written in it. But yeah, I just thought it was really, really good. I thought it was endearing. So great job, Cedar, and thanks for sharing. And Laurent, how about you?
It is absolutely an endearing piece. So when you read about someone 7 feet tall with arms the grip of an oak tree and paws that could palm a planet, it's a delightful description. Mm-hmm. And he uses similar descriptions, riding the full moon, Miss Pac-Man, a silver-coated monster, Satan's horns, I thought. It was very, very appropriate. A little dark, but still. And then that the whisper, you vanished like a garden after the first morning frost. Life happens. Hiding the book under the cardigan to save it from the recycling bin. How many books have been hidden through time? Or you're writing in a little notebook and then the wrong person walks into the room and you have to hide it quickly. But all of that gave him a certain peace of mind and allowed him to write his journal. And it's kind of poem that makes you want to turn right around and read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's long enough and it's good enough, and it really requires that to find the full subtleties of this piece.
Yeah, I have to agree. Nice comments, everybody. Well done. Pam, I'm going to ask you to read the next one for us. The Calm Within by Jody Melton. Whenever you're ready.
All right. In twilight's tender embrace, we lay where shadows kiss the dying day amidst the chaos, a gentle plea for compassion's touch to set us free. Breath to breath, heartbeats align, your pain, my dear, so mirrors mine. Yet in our souls a flame does gleam, lit by empathy, it softly beams. When our eyes connect and we're face to face, there lies a secret, delicate as lace. In compassion's soft touch, we find our true place. The world outside, tumultuous and wild, yet within the calmness of a child. For only when we feel, truly see, can we unlock tranquility. Eyes locked, breath shared, we begin to see the depths of another, what we yearn to be in the intimate space we're truly free, with compassion as our key to empathy's spree. The world may spin in chaos and noise, yet in tender moments we find our poise. Only by seeing through another's guise can we find the peace that never belies. Happiness elusive, always in chase, finds its home in love's embrace. For in seeing you, I find me together in serenity, forever free. End poem.
Nice read, Pam. Really nice. Naomi, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a, you know, of course, the, you know, the empathy and the compassion and what we need to more in the world today. But, you know, more than that, I think it's, you know, that connection that I felt between two people, you know, that share their lives together. Like I see that, you know, the calmness of the, when you're with that one that understands you, that's there for you every moment, that you can count on, you know, that true love, you know. I see that in this poem that brings us calm, you know, that calms us and brings us true happiness and tranquility in our life. So beautiful, beautiful, heartfelt piece and so tender and touching. So bravo, bravo, Jody. It is a wonderful piece.
Nice comment, Naomi. Milan, are you ready to comment? Okay. Oof. Well, I think that he was coughing. I thought this was a great piece by Jody. The calm within. I liked how he did that and how he handled that. Breath to breath, heartbeat to line, your pain, my dear, so mirrors mine. Yet in our souls, a flame does gleam, lit by empathy, it softly beams. When our eyes connect and we're face to face, there lies a secret delicate as lace. In compassion's soft touch, we find our true place. I don't know, I just thought this was a wonderful piece. It was real soft. It had a just wonderful wording, and the flow was nice. And I just really thought it was I look at it and I go, wow, I see you. Kind of meets that image to me, because you can just imagine the violin playing a soft, subtle piece, and then these words on top of it. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody else, but that's what I see here. I can envision that. And I think you did a really fine job putting it together. So great job, Jody, and thanks for sharing. Ron, you okay? You back yet?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Sorry, I had a little coughing jag.
All right.
I do agree with you on the image. It's beautifully done. That whole series of images is excellent. Breath to breath, heartbeats align, your pain, my dear, so mirrors mine. Yet in our souls, a flame does gleam, lit by empathy, it softly beams. When the poet establishes, or when Jody establishes an eye-to-eye connection, face-to-face, it's a very intimate act, action. And either for both people have to be either very, very much in love or in true peace inside. Jody says the world outside tumultuous and wild, yet within the calmness of a child. Not all children I've seen are absolutely calm. Some of them are wired, I swear to God. But I do understand what she means by that, unlocking tranquility. That's a rare thing, lovely to do, as is this poem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was so drawn into the write itself that I didn't realize it was more than just the image prompt, because there was a quote underneath. Only the development of compassion and understanding for others can bring us tranquility and happiness that we all seek. And I think that, he really did ace the prompts. So wonderful job, Jody, and thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. It was excellent. Okay, I'll read that one. Naomi, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece. This is by, you know what? I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to put Rex's piece up because he did a SoundCloud for us. And this is called Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler. Intimidus Rex. So, Pam, would you do me a favor and put that up on the board?
Absolutely.
But you know what I mean.
Slowly I crept, step by step, inch by inch goes the night crawler. They call me the creeper while rolling down the hall. Now they call me the creeper and I'm ready to maul. Furtive glances, just a shadow on the wall, in tippy-toed prances, moving down the hall. Gotta be so silent, cause I've crossed the Rubicon. My mission is strident, and I can't leave it undone. There she blows, matey, you've got past the plank. Hurry up and grab that booty, for our ship is sank. They call me the creeper, while rolling down the hall. Now they call me the creeper, and I'm ready to maul. Cookies, cookies, cookies.
Okay. Well, let me see now. Where do I begin? Naomi, I think you're first up this go round. My memory's
so cool. From the creeping door to he's singing in this. Just amazing, magical piece. So well done. Just like Rex can do them. I just loved it all the way through.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, Nightcrawler is, it reminds me very much of a song from the 60s. I've been trying to remember which one it is, but I can't quite get it. But it has Crawler in the title, I think. It's a cute little thing. Not quite the kind of thing I expect from Rex. He's usually more, I don't want to say majestic, but his use of the language is nonpareil. It's not hyperbolic, but it is so skillful. This is more along the lines of entertainment. He uses clean, simple English, but his sense of humor is ever present. Gotta be so silent. As I've crossed the Rubicon, my mission is strident. I can't leave it undone. Now that sounds like Rex. then, of course, the next czar she blows, matey, you've got past the plank. Hurry up and grab that booty before our ship is sank. It's nice. I enjoyed it quite a bit. That perfect poem to me.
Nice comment, Laurent. And Pam, how about you?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed this. With the use of repetition in the rhyme, there's a wonderful lyrical quality to this. I love the way how he kind of sang, read this in a way that was very blues-like. Clever imagery all the way through. This kind of made me think of the Crypt Keeper, or it made me actually think of, in its own way, almost like the whole idea of a childhood my imagination and imaginary friend. It's almost like that boy and his stuffed tiger, only in this case it's the boy and his creepy crawly, and they're going all over the place. They're crossing the Rubicon. They're sailing as pirates. You know, they're creepers. They call me the creeper while rolling down the hall. Now they call me the creeper, and I'm ready to maul. It just has a great balance of fun and darkness that works for all ages. So very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
You already asked me to.
See that? That means it's on me. There you go. I enjoyed all the different characters throughout this piece. We all know it wasn't the same character, that was the pirate or, the next one. I thought it was just a clever idea, and I thought that was a clever idea on the monster's angle of the contest. He picked different characters. So that was great. And I thought he did a nice job with it and a great audio. And I want to thank him for sharing with us tonight. Great job, Rex. Thank you very much. Very much. Okay. My next poem I'm going to put up, I'm going to give this one a read, is called The Moon Can Only Grin by Julie Buck. And I'm going to give it a read. I can never outrun the rising moon. The devil that sits on my left shoulder follows me like a cartoon. Its funny monster body sprouts two ominous horns from its giant head. Where's the angel that sits on my right? Ask my dread. I will never outlast this chase. The moon can only grin. Scary in this land, frightening is its race. My feet are bare, the grass is tall. May the first without sin be the first to fall. Says my prayer. End poem. Well, let's see. Laurent, do you want to start us off on this one?
Yes, ma'am. This has been a popular prop this evening, this particular image. That moon broadens. Life, it lends itself to anyone's imagination, and it is so large, it always with you. So when he says I can never outrun the rising moon, he's absolutely right. He talks about the devil that sits on his left shoulder, follows me, and like a cartoon, hoary monster body sprouts from and forth. He's describing the monster. So sitting on his shoulder is strictly metaphoric, because in this particular one, it's right behind him. I'd hate to have that big weight on my shoulders. I like the phrase, the moon can only grin, which is nice. May the first without sin be the first to fail, says my prayer. That came to me a little strangely. I don't know, it just doesn't seem to hardly fit into the poem, but I'm sure somebody's going to point out the fact that I'm wrong and why.
Okay. Well, Pam, that's your job.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a big job.
Yeah.
I found this one interesting because of the fact that it seemed to take a slightly darker turn than the other approaches to the topic, which or to the contest or what, not contest or that thing, to the prompt, the specific prompt, which is fine because it's like I said before, it's fun to see how people take it in different ways. You know, great imagery and excellent dark write. I like how this speaks in the whole idea that of somebody who feels like they no longer have the angel on their shoulder. All they have is the devil on their shoulder, and they can't escape that. And I could be wrong, but I think that May the First Without Sin Be the First to Fall has to do with the fact that, you know, this person has a devil on their shoulder, and they're being chased. And so because they have the devil on their shoulder, they have the sin, and therefore, I don't know, I'm thinking maybe the person chasing them is without sin, though I don't know. I'm just reaching for straws here. It definitely, I think it's one of those lines, honestly, we're going to have Julie respond to one of us and tell us what exactly it meant. But I did like the imagery in this, and I do like the concept of somebody who's really lost their sense of balance because they no longer have the angel to balance things out. So
exactly.
Wonderful, right, and very well done.
Absolutely. I agree with that, Pam. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, it is. You can take it as a dark right, but I didn't. You know, I thought it was a lighthearted dark right. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way it flows, or you know, the way it's the rhythm and the flow of the whole thing. The question, like, where's the angel that sits on my right? Ask my dad. I don't know. I didn't take it as that. Really, really dark. And then the repetition in the end, it says my prayer. I really, really liked it. I thought it was, you know, a neat, like a Halloween kind of a poem, and that it was really suited for the prompt. I really enjoyed this write by Julie Buck.
Absolutely. Yeah, the piece, I found it intriguing and a bit interesting because I was a little lost. I'm not going to lie. But I can never outrun the rising moon. The devil that sits on my left shoulder follows me. And like a cartoon, it's funny, a furry monster body sprouts two ominous horns from its giant head. Where's the devil that sits on my right? Ask my dread. You know, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you know, outrunning the rising moon. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where that how to tie that in. And the devil that sits on my left shoulder, in my thoughts, is now the monster that's following the boy in the image. That's the only thing I could figure there. But, yeah, and he sprouts his horns. And then he's so worried and so scared that it's like, his dread says, where's the angel, you know, who's here to help us, you know, where's the upswing on this? So, I mean, it was a good piece. I just couldn't, you know, kind of tie it in, you know, nothing unusual there. But, yeah, I thought it was a nice, you know, take on the prompts, Julie. I just need a little direction, just a little, un poquito, you know. But, yes. So please feel free to give us a buzz back and let us know what that is. Okay. Let me see now. I have.
You do.
I do. I wouldn't lie about it. Laurent, just for that, I do. I have a piece for you to read. And this is by Eric Svensson. Eric did not put in a Sandlot with this one. Surprisingly. And if he did, I can't see it. So whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I'm just trying to refresh and find it. There it is.
All right.
Rachmaninoff's reprise. Once upon a blue moon, August's third supermoon boon, hazelnutted, I sat and pondered, made me a field fire and wondered, old pizza pie I full sturgeon supermoon adjumed. Zeitgeist leaned down and closely and groomed. Yeti alone, without my yak, steeped in thought I sat, comfortable in my blurry, furry skin coat, content like a humdinger billy goat. Lo and behold, as foretold, my incognito monster wish was granted. Misunderstood by unbiased human fears slanted, full sturgeon supermoon sent an emissary. Feathered flight landed the magical missionary. Wise owl gently touched down, determined to erase each signature frown. What a pair we must have made. Yeti unshackled beside owl wings splayed. Maestro, sky-gold moon, magician composing odes, robustly sharing secret codes. Seamless dream time, some would say. Rachmaninoff's reprisal from reality's rigorous way. Congenial owl and big monster yeti pussycat, harmoniously bonded below sturgeon full moon's unblue hat. Roasted hazelnuts for caviar. Sweet embrace of Hawaiian ukulele guitar. Quipped the wise penny owl. Innermost monster beauty embraced. Aces all things foul. Somewhere over the rainbow, right here beneath supermoon glow, flaxen hair flowed freely. Rapport raptured keenly. Wise owl's wisdom manifesto. Blessed a yeti fond of eating all things keto. And poemo.
Nice read, Laura. Great poem, for sure, Eric. And Pam, can I get you to start us off?
Absolutely. This is brilliant. I really like the imagery and metaphors in this and how it speaks to me on the idea of learning to love and embrace your inner monster, and how it also speaks on the idea of different parts of oneself. The owl, which represents freedom and wisdom, the monster, which, you know, represents that part of ourselves that we're often afraid to share with other people. And I really like that these lines, my incognito monster wish was granted, misunderstood by unbiased human fears slanted, full surgeon supermoon sent an emissary, feathered flight landed a magical missionary. You know, wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I really like this too. You know, of course, it's always wonderful to see Eric's mastery of the English language and how he can do internal rhymes as well as outside, you know, end rhymes. and you know, and even, you know, alliteration throughout. Everything just flowed so wonderfully together, and that was an awesome read to Laurent, if I might say. And yeah, and like Pam said, you know, just learning to embrace, you know, all the dark stuff that lays inside, and you know, live with it, and somewhere over the rainbow, like he says, right here beneath supermoon glow, you know, you'll be free. And blessed a Yeti fond of eating all things keto. He has to put in humor in it too. That's Eric. So wonderful, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree. I thought this was a wonderful piece by Eric. Great imagery and the story he told. And I agree with you, Naomi, you know, the rhyme and the meter and the use of alliteration, you know, just nicely done. And, but it was nicely penned and a great take on the prompt. So, he's a very clever writer, you know, always. Eric always has his own take on everything, and it's always different. And I like that, you know, I say more power to him. And, yes, so thanks for sharing with us, Eric. And Laurent, how about you?
Well, you know, we've been reading Eric's poetry now for several years.
Mm-hmm.
He's written an awful lot of poetry, a lot of contents.
Yes, he has.
LNB. And he has a very unique style. And he has a very unique reading pace.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, that's a slow reading pace, might be really irritating. But with Eric, it's part of the charm, I think. Having the language that he so masterfully manipulates delivered in a way that is unlike anyone else, I think. And so the two together are a great combination, and hopefully won't go unrewarded.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I want to put this next piece up. I think we can do it. And this is called United Despite It by Bill Schiller. United despite it, my shadow shows no smile. It shades my plaid shirt black. The shadow never laughs at jokes, for it lacks all sense of humor. Our marriage persists through menacing mirth, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. We're bound for better or worse. End poem. And this was for prompt 9. Sometimes you grow to love the shadow that follows. So, let's see. Laurent, I think I'm coming to you first.
Why would you do that?
You know, I don't know. I think it's your turn.
You think so?
I think so.
I don't know about that.
What, should I ask the girls?
No, United despite it. Is another clever brevity.
Mm-hmm.
My shadow shows no smile. It's an independent entity, isn't it? The shadow never laughs at jokes, but it lacks all sense of humor. Yeah, if they're a shadow of ourselves, they have to be minus a lot, and in this case, minus the sense of humor. But the marriage, the partnership between him and his shadow, persists, just like a wedding or a marriage persists, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, bound for better or worse. So a very clever take on being united the way that they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great comment. Great comment. And Pam, that's going to bring me to you.
This is a wonderful brevity on being permanently connected with your darker side, your shadow. And I like it all the way through, but especially my shadow shows no smile. It shades my plaid shirt black.
Mm.
You know, wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. You know, it was very, very witty and clever to put in, you know, you know, the sentence, the words from a marriage into it, you know, united despite it, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Yeah, it's true. You know, you have to embrace that shadow, your dark side, the darkness. You know, if you want to go on, you have to learn to live with it. And so very well done, Bill. And great, great little brevity here.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I said this was a great little piece. Am I going to have time to read it? And I went, yeah. United despite it. That's the differences. My shadow shows no smile. It shades my plaid shirt black. My shadow never laughs at jokes, for it lacks all sense of humor. And it's like, oh yeah. Then it turns into a marriage. Our marriage persists through menace or mercy. You know, I don't know. I think that it really was a clever piece. And, you know, I think it's the marriage to the shadow. You know, you're stuck together. You know, I think that's kind of what was meant. You know, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, we're bound for better or worse. You know, like the heck with the rest of it, you know. But I don't know. I just thought that Bill did a nice job putting this together. And it was short. It was clever. It was well done. And thanks for sharing. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, ladies, I don't think we can fit in another poem. Unless it's like a three-worder or something. I don't think I have any of those handy. But it was a great show. And Pam, thanks for co-hosting. Naomi, thanks for co-hosting. And Laurent, thanks for co-hosting as well. He's our twisted mister. Somehow it kind of suits him a little bit. But yeah, it was a great night of poetry. Good comments, good reads. It was fun spending time with you guys. And I hope everybody has a great week to follow. And, you know, we'll catch up again. Oh, I don't know. Maybe, well, you never know. Could be any night. You know, we all know where Pam is. You know, we know she's around. We know where to find her, always. And, you know, and Naomi, it's good to have you back, you know. And
good to be back.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wonderful company.
You're always welcome. And, you know, when you can't, you can't. I get it. So it's all good. And, yeah, I don't know. There's not much else. What's happening? Do we have a show tomorrow, Pam? No, we don't, right? I mean, other than The Art of Seduction.
Yeah, just The Art of Seduction.
Okay. And that's Gray Eyes. So Gray Eyes Smith is doing The Art of Seduction tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. So I hope everybody will tune in and join him, and everyone take care of yourselves. Pam will tell you tomorrow. Pam will tell you tomorrow night, or somebody will tell you tomorrow night what's after Gray's show. So I'm not sure. We have Part Center and State tomorrow night, Pam? Yeah, it was last week they got canceled, not this week. It's me.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was last week. Last week we couldn't do it. Or are we not doing it this week? Never mind. I'll talk to you about it later. We'll figure it out and we'll let everybody know. It's all good. Okay? I know. I'm confused. Yes. So anyway, thanks everybody. Have a great night.
Have a great night.